This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, well, Joel Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. You could chime in on the Sixers. I want to tank this thing. I mean, like the good old days. I'm calling for a real tank for the Sixers. Shut George down, shut Embiid down, play McCain, play Maxey, reassess in the offseason. And Hugh, what do you think about the white flag? Wave the white flag for Cooper Flag. I mean, it's got some alliteration to it. It flows, Hugh.
I know it works for what we do.
You wave that white flag,
nah,
Hugh?
No, but it's not a guarantee.
Well, it's not. You're right about that. They've smoothed out those lottery odds. I would do it. I'd wave the white flag on the season. Where do you come now? You could chime in on the Sixers. We'll get to some Philly stuff later in the show. Buster Olney's going to join us. There's some more buzz heating up about the Phillies and Juan Soto, so we'll get to all that. But, Hugh, I was thinking about something yesterday. So we stayed at Birds at the Half, right? We did an extra hour. We were on with the afternoon show.
Yes.
And in the second half of the 2 o'clock hour yesterday, Spike was trying to press me down on the Sirianni thing, right? Well, Sirianni.
Why you try to get him fired
and all that kind of stuff. And it got me actually thinking about Sirianni's future. So Nick Sirianni, as of right now, has only 1 year left on his deal. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he will be, at the end of this season, a lame duck unless the Eagles do something with his contract. It's been so interesting listening to how the opinions of Sirianni have kind of
changed.
Yeah, they've changed. They've moved. You know,
he's changed the narrative.
Well, you win six in a row and you're 8-2.
Yeah.
Sure, he changes the narrative. But I'm curious to this because as much as he's done better and as much as I will say that I probably was too hard on Nick Sirianni, the idea, like when it first hit me yesterday, thinking about his future, because he's not getting fired, right? They're 8-2. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's talking about firing Nick Sirianni, including me. That's off the table for now. But that's off the table, okay? That's not part of the conversation. So, but usually there's not lame duck coaches in the NFL. Usually. The Cowboys are doing it. Look what's going on down there. But usually teams, they make decisions. They either fire the guy or they extend the guy. So it got me thinking, are the Eagles going to extend Nick Sirianni? And should they? Hugh, like right now, if I say to you, would you extend Nick Sirianni's contract right now? Yes or no, would you do it?
No. And I know people are like, what are you talking about? He has a coach and he has a winning record and all this other stuff. He does. But I feel like there was a time, especially after the bye, where there were some questions about Coach Sirianni.
Mm-hmm. Big ones.
There were some questions. And I don't think that even though he has righted the ship, and this team is playing extremely well. They're responding to him. I believe that, and I have nothing to back this up on, people. It just feels that way. It just feels like as far as what the company's message is, he got away from it a little bit. I feel like Coach Sirianni at some point was like, hey, I'm doing it my way. If I go out, I'm going out my way. And with that, the team responded. And they start playing well, but I feel like he rubbed some people in the organization the wrong way. Now, this is the way that I feel today. There's a lot of factors that go into that narrative or that storyline changing as we progress through this season. I think if we go to the Super Bowl, we win the Super Bowl, then yes, he will be here.
You know what I mean?
If they get to
the Super Bowl, for sure.
I feel like right now, if I was a betting man, if this season doesn't play out favorably, I think they're leaning more towards moving on from Coach Sirianni.
Wow. So here's the way I would come down on this. And I acknowledge yesterday I've probably been a little too hard on Nick Sirianni. But no is my answer. Not right now. As I sit here today, and I know they're on their path to doing something good, and we're talking about the Super Bowl and going deep in the playoffs. But as of today, he has been here 3.5 years. He has won a playoff game in one of the seasons. Just one. And he won two in that year. But his first year, they made the playoffs, did not win a game. His third year, made the playoffs, did not win a game. Those playoff wins right now, as of this moment, are against Daniel Jones and a fourth-string quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's facts. I mean, you could say, well, his defense knocked Brock Purdy out. Wonderful. But that's the facts. They beat a fourth-string quarterback in Daniel Jones. Can I just, before we give Sirianni a contract extension, can he win a playoff game or two this year? Like, if he does it this year, Hugh, and you add up all the wins, a Super Bowl trip, maybe a NFC Championship game this year, then I think I'll be okay with an extension. I'll be okay with it. But yeah. I couldn't do it today. Again, I don't think they're going to collapse, but we were 10-1 last year.
Yeah.
So, like, this job isn't finished for this season. I'm curious where it comes down on this. 215-592-9494. I feel like it's been an under-talked about thing in Philadelphia that Nick Sirianni is coming up on a walk year or a lame duck year. He's got, they're 8-2. They have 7 more games to go. He's got 7 more regular season games before he's into his last year, right?
Yeah.
And then the playoffs, of course. But next year is the last year in his deal. This is usually around the time coaches get extensions or they get fired. Would you extend Sirianni's contract right now? 215-592-9494. I'm curious where the town comes down on this because, you know, this would have been a laughable thing, Hugh, to bring up, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 weeks ago. It would have been laughable, but it's not today. So Chris Canty, ESPN Radio, he said this about a few days ago about Sirianni, and I think he's right on this. We'll be able to say yes firmly, but can we have some playoff wins first? Here's Canty.
I'm not going to sit here and say that Nick Sirianni's job is safe just because they stack up 11 or 12 wins. They got to win a playoff game, preferably 2, in order for me to feel like his job is secure under general manager Howie Roseman, because Roseman is looking at this roster and saying, I've gifted you a Super Bowl contending team.
Definitely.
Now it's up to you to get us there or get us back there and actually win it. Because these windows, as we're seeing with the San Francisco 49ers, don't stay open for long. So when we start talking about the coaches that are doing the best jobs around the National Football League, I don't know. I'm not going to say that Nick Sirianni hasn't done well, but I don't think it's the most impressive coaching job that we've seen this season in the NFL.
Yeah, the way he framed it, Hugh, it's all based on expectations, right?
Yes.
It's based on the talent you have. It's almost a little bit like in the NBA. Coaches get fired in the NBA all the time if they have great players and they don't win anything, right? Because the 50 or 60 wins, that's just expected. The Eagles, with the roster they have, I don't know. You think Howie Roseman's really that impressed by 11 wins? They're supposed to win 11
games.
No,
they're supposed to be there. They're supposed to be in that realm. And I think
they're supposed to be there with this
roster.
Are
they? They were supposed to be an 11-win team after everything that we saw last season. You had them at, what, 9-8?
10-7.
Okay, so then they're not supposed to be an 11-win team.
But now I'm just pessimistic. The betting market had them at 10.5 or 11, right? Like, listen to most of our audience, Kyle. Most people, when we said before the season how many wins, what was said to us?
Well,
13?
Okay, hold on. Everybody also said we were going to blow out the Chiefs in the Super
Bowl.
That's delusional Eagle fan hype.
But even
that's
it out.
Different.
If I'm being pessimistic at 10 and people are being over the top at 13, I think a reasonable person would say 11 or 12,
well,
right?
That was probably it. I'll spin it back on you then. What was the one thing, if you ask people before the season, what's the one thing holding you back from thinking that this Eagles team will have success this season? It was Nick Sirianni.
Yep.
Guess what? 3-2.
I'm aware.
Okay. Well,
So you want to extend him today?
Of course I would. What's the downside of extending Nick Sirianni? Like, it feels like there's a silly double standard here because everybody saw Zach Bond play great for 10 weeks. Extend Zach Bond right now. Do we need to see Zach Bond play well in the playoffs?
But someone could take him in March.
Happens is you have to cut Zach Bond and you eat the dead money. Nick Sirianni, that's not the case. If you extend him, you can just fire him. Did I lose my mic?
No, you're good.
Okay, good.
I hear you.
Zapping in and out. All right, so if you extend Nick Sirianni, you could just fire him next season. Like, that doesn't make a difference to me. Like, what's the downside to extending Nick Sirianni today?
You could do that, Kyle. I mean, you could, but most teams don't fire coaches immediately after extending them, right? It's like a weird thing.
Well, most teams don't fire their coach a few years after winning the Super Bowl. We did.
Well, they did.
And it's worked out and we went back, right?
I agree with that. All right, so Kyle, obviously, Mr. Sirianni over here.
You're
the Sirianni guy on the show.
I know I am, but I think there's a good basis to it. He's having a good year. He might not have the most impressive coaching job, like Candy said. Who the hell cares?
Can I let him finish this year first? We were 10-1 last year and it fell apart. If they win playoff games this year, I'll sign off.
Okay,
I'll sign off.
Well, but you can, Joe, if you extend him right now and they collapse, go ahead and fire him.
I know, but they're not going to do that.
Well, why not?
Because that would look like they're a Mickey Mouse organization.
They have done so many things in the past that made them look like a Mickey Mouse organization, well, like true. Trading the quarterback that they gave the highest salary, like biggest dead cap in NFL history, and they had to trade him. Like, the Eagles are okay with eating turds. They do that all the time.
They do. 215-592-9494. Interesting way to say it, but he's right. They do.
But that's a Hugh phrase. It's true. That's what they do.
Well, I'd rather not have to do that.
Why? Just wait. What are you worried about optics for?
Can I just wait? I don't want to extend it because I don't think he's earned the extension yet. Get to the playoffs and win some playoff games, and then we'll talk.
I just don't see what the downside is of doing it. If somebody can answer me what the worst thing that can happen is if you extend him right now.
So I think they'd be reluctant to fire him if they just extended him.
I don't think they would.
I think that. All right, so let's hear from Jordan Mailata. He was talking about the meeting that happened a few weeks ago, right around the bye when the Eagles O-line went to Sirianni and said, hey, let's run the football. Here's Mailata talking about Nick Sirianni and really why he's such a good connector.
It wasn't like a demand. It was just having a conversation, you know, being truthful, being honest. There was no foul intent or anything in the conversation. And kudos to Coach Sirianni because of the culture that he was, you know, coaching in order for us to go up to him and have this conversation.
We talked yesterday when we were at the afternoon show about the positives about Nick Hugh, the communication, how he connects with players, the players seem to respond to him. That's all good. It's all good and great. And he's doing a nice job right now. I would just wait until he wins a playoff game or two this year. 215-592-949. Let's go back to the phone lines here. A lot to get to. Buster only later in the show. We'll do a little throwback Thursday on a week where we play the Los Angeles Rams. Should be a fun game on Sunday. Joel Embiid. We are trying to track down audio of Joel Embiid and what he said last night. The quote, of course, was, the person who leaked the meetings from the details from the meetings is a bad piece of bleep. So we're trying to track down that audio. 215-592-9490 for your thoughts on Embiid, the Sixers. And would you give Sirianni a contract extension right now as I watch Kyle badger the witnesses behind the glass? Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
My favorite team, dream team. How y'all doing today?
Hey, Will. What's up?
Hey, listen, man. We talking about resetting. First of all, I'm tired of throwing away money. Like everybody's saying, like you saying, Joe, let us take us to the playoffs. Let's see what he could do, you know, and see how I roll from there. But let's not forget about this next game coming up. I was looking at this Rams defense, man. They got a lot of young Thundercats too, and they like to box in the quarterback, right? So they're going to take them edges away from Jalen.
Yeah, they are. They have a lot of young pass. It's amazing. They lost Aaron Donald, obviously, but they've drafted in the last two years like three really good defensive linemen.
Yeah, man. And they get at the quarterback and they get at that run too. So I hope this Sunday we're not dependent only on the run. Hey, Jalen, this is going to be a game where you're going to have to throw that rock and show everybody that you are a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And the whole thing is like, They're gonna collapse on that backfield. They got a good push up front, and I hope you got some hurry up offense plays, wear them down, and I hope you got some quick plays because you're not gonna have that much time in the pocket, man. I'm telling you, them guys get back there. So I just hope y'all really prepared and you know got y'all game plan ready because this ain't gonna be no Saquon night. I'm gonna let you know that right now. And I think we got a good chance to, walk it off anyway and beat him. But last thing about Embiid, man, like I said before, Embiid, look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you are the problem and you are the solution. What side are you going to be on? Because if you're a part of the problem, guess what? You might as well pack your bags now. If you're a part of the solution, let's tighten up. Let's, you know, whatever's bothering you, get back in the game playing. And let's, you know, take us where you need to take it.
Yeah, I mean, just wake up. It's time to wake up. Will, we always appreciate the phone call. When you are challenged or anyone's challenged in life by a person close to you or whatever, you could choose to be upset at them or choose to be upset at the messenger. Or you could say, like, why is this being said to me? And I think that comes with maturity in life.
Yeah, it does.
Now, Joel's not an old man. He's only 29, 30 years old. But he's also not a baby in the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not 22 or 23. It's disappointing. It feels like he still doesn't realize you got to receive the right message.
Well,
here.
This is one of those moments where, to be honest, Joe, you have to look outside yourself. I told you a story this morning about how I can relate to this. And I feel like I grew from that moment because it's one of those things where when you're being challenged by the people that you work with, you can be upset, but you have to, I think it's important to look at it from their perspective. And I don't think Joel Embiid is doing that, to be honest. It's because with the story I was telling you, I was mad in the moment. But as I was able to workshop through it and realize that, hey, well, maybe this is how they're feeling. I didn't know this for sure because I never wanted it to be or say something to them that was adversarial. Mm. I tried to understand it from their perspective. And I don't think that he gets that. I don't think that he understands that, you know, Tyrese Maxey is coming in early, busting his butt, trying to get ready to play for a game that he loves, and you're sashaying in an hour and a half late. Like, that bothers people, especially when they look at you as a person that they looked up to. And now they're your contemporary, they're your equal, and they don't see the same work ethic that they have. And they know that you're better than that. That's how you have to look at it. Sometimes, man, it's a tough lesson to learn, but sometimes you have to listen to what's being said about you and try to, like I said, workshop through that. And realize that maybe I do need to adjust and change some things.
And look, every team has moments like this. This isn't never happened before, right? Like, the locker rooms have this, teammates have this, and you either take it and you learn from it or you don't, and it gets worse. And Joel's response last night, he played better, which is great to see that he's got something in the tank there.
But he played better for all the wrong reasons.
Well, you're right about that.
He played better because he was mad at what people were saying about him, and he wanted to show people that, you know, he that dude, instead of saying, hey, you know, it was more so about him getting his and being able to use that to play the victim as opposed to putting his team in a situation to win.
After the game, I agree with you on that. After the game, here's what I wanted to hear from him. Hey, message received. I'll be better. This doesn't have to be rocket science. I need to be a better leader. I will. That's it. Instead of throwing an arrow at the person who leaked it. Should it have gotten leaked out? No, but this is the other thing about what Hugh just said about looking in the mirror and kind of, why did this get out? Well, maybe the team thought you rolled your eyes at the message two nights ago and they realized, all right.
Maybe we try a different approach.
Well, we got to embarrass him publicly. I mean, I don't think they wanted to do that. Does any family or team want to express to the public dysfunction? Nobody wants to do that.
No, it's not a good look.
Right, it's not. So, like, it feels like a last-ditch resort. I don't think it should have been leaked out, but it was. Now you got to deal with it. Greg in the Northeast, what's up, Greg?
Joe, Hugh, what's going on, man?
Hey, Greg, what's up, buddy?
Man, I've been talking about the Sixers and Embiid forever. What are these callers talking about? That one, what's it, Damon, give him more time? Bro, we've given him 10 years.
Yep.
10 whole years, and it's the same petting zoo clown show every year, and Joel Embiid is the main animal that we all pet, and we all let him do whatever the heck he wants. He's got to go. Sit Embiid, sit Paul George the rest of the year, let them get healthy, let their little knees get better, and trade them away. And then Hugh, I got something for you, bro.
Yes, what's up,
talking
bro?
About there's no guarantee that you can get a number one pick. I got a guarantee for you. We're going to deal with the same thing as long as Embiid's in the uniform. So let's go try to
make at least to do something, huh?
Yeah.
I got you, man. Unbelievable. And he takes zero accountability. His press conferences afterwards, he doesn't care about nobody but himself, man. It's all, oh, woe is me. I'm so sick of hearing it. Luckily, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. I can't make it to New Orleans because I ain't got money like that, but I will be eastbound and down playing on the radio while you all are on the way.
Well, you're with us the whole time, Greg. We'll be singing that thing with you for the next couple months. Greg, good phone call. So Greg hit something there. Hugh, you're totally right that if they tank, there's no guarantee of Cooper Flagg, right? Or whoever the number one pick is.
Yeah.
It sounds like it'll probably be him. But there is something to being bad, really bad versus just kind of bad. So the Sixers pick next year is top six protected, which means if they get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, they get to keep their pick.
Mm-hmm.
If it's anything else, 7, 8, 9, 10,
they got to trade away, don't
they? Got to give it to the Thunder. So there is no in between. Like, they either
you're all or none. You're pushing your chips in the middle of the table.
Right. They either need to figure this out and get good and make the playoffs and try to make a run, which feels silly right now, but okay, or they better finish really bad, because the worst case scenario would be this: like, they're bad. not the worst team. They get the sixth pick, and then it goes, or the seventh pick,
yeah.
And they don't even get a top 10 pick. That kind of feels realistic if they don't figure this out. So I would sit George. I would sit Embiid. Just get him healthy. Trade him away next offseason. And away we go with McCain and Maxey. 215-592-9494. This hour, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly. So fly to Popeyes Fly and fill up on wings in seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, we got a lot to do on the show today. Coming up at 1, Buster Only is going to join us. He was set to join us a few days ago, but we got caught up in the Embiid stuff. So Buster kindly moved to today. We got to ask him about the survey that came out over at ESPN about where the free agents will sign. And both John Heyman and Jim Bowden connecting the Phillies to the Soto thing stronger than it has been so far. How big of a chance, how real of a chance do the Phillies have at Juan Soto? We'll talk to Buster about that coming up. Jalen Hurts on the injury report with an ankle issue. What's is this like premeditated? Are they trying to get ahead of something? What's going on with Jalen Hurts? Yeah.
The conspiracy theorists.
We'll get to that. The odds of the Sixers getting the number one pick. We'll hit you with that. 215-592-9494. And should the Eagles give Nick Sirianni a contract extension? Kyle says yes. Hugh and I want to just hold on a second. Can we get to the playoffs and have some success this year before we start handing out contract extensions? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You think Sirianni will play this as he signs his contract extension?
Yes.
It's like Jeff Howe. Just wait a second.
No, he's going to play...
Put my song on.
He's going to play Destiny Child's I'm a Survivor. he's going to play that after he gets his extension.
Well, I could see that.
Yeah.
So he'll come out of the tunnel to this in the Super Bowl, and then he signs that extension after they do well in the playoffs, of course. Because no one would want to extend him right now. I mean, what are we talking about? At 8-2, they were 10-1 last year. I'm not extending his contract.
No one?
Well, I mean, no one should want to do that. You can want to do it. Because let's breathe. Let it breathe. Let him go through the season. They win playoff games. So what's the number for you, Hugh? One playoff win, two, or they gotta get to the Super Bowl?
I think this is where it gets a little murky,
mm-hmm.
because I think it has to do with how they lose in the playoffs. I think that kind of matters. Style points kind of matter. And what round they go in. Because, you know, last year we went out in the first round, went out whimpering. I don't think it we can't do that this year. I think I'm with Chris Canty on this. It needs to be a couple playoff wins. And if we make it to the NFC Championship game, we better go down swinging. That's what I think. You can't go out there and just get dragged.
I might be okay with just a playoff win. Like progress. They win a... Because right now, we think they're going to win the division, right? They probably will have the 2-seed. Like if I guessed where this is going.
Winning the division is progress.
Winning the division is...
Progress.
It's progress.
No, it's progress. They didn't win the division last year.
Sure. With two divisions in 4 years.
So?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like overwhelmingly great. I mean, Andy Reid wins it every year.
Okay. Okay, but
I'm just saying there are certain teams that win the division every year.
Well, nobody wins the division back to back in the NFC East.
I know. Well, that would be a cherry on top for Sirianni, but yes, that would take next year.
I'm just trying to understand what the worst thing that could possibly happen is if we decide not to extend him.
All right, let me play it out for you. So,
or if we decide to extend him,
let's say they extend him today, and they collapse down the stretch, which again I don't think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're not going to fire him 6 weeks after an extension.
They absolutely could.
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked.
Have you ever been shocked at something the Eagles have done before?
Well, yeah, but sometimes, usually they let it breathe a little bit.
I don't, do you really think Howie and Jeff would sit up there after a collapse, whether they extended him or not, and tell us that everything's okay, we're bringing him back again, that they know that doesn't fly.
Well, but then
they're way too smart to do that.
Maybe, but they'd also look ridiculous to the NFL. Like, no one does that. No one fires coaches 6 weeks after they extend them.
Who cares?
I can't stress enough,
I don't think they care.
Well, I also don't think he's earned it yet. I want him to earn
sure
his extension.
He's going to have won the division twice.
Well, can we get there first?
Go to the playoffs every single year he's been the head coach. How is that not extension worthy?
Can we get there? They didn't win the division
yet. We're going to get there.
Oh, 10-1 last year. If we had asked, I believe we actually did a show around this time last year. Is the division over?
Knowing what you know about both teams this year and last year, you know it's so much more likely that a team like last season collapses than this season.
Agree.
You know it's not even, like, honestly, a collapse this year, it's not happening. It's just not.
Okay.
I will guarantee you that something like last season is not going to happen.
Well, Larry, let me throw this at you. Then we'll go back to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. I don't think they're going to collapse. I'll say it five times on today's show. I don't believe they're going to collapse. But what if they stumble a little bit and Commanders get hot again and they lose the division 12-12 on a tiebreaker? So that they blow the division and they're a wild card team. That doesn't mean they're a bad team. They didn't really collapse, but now we got a way harder path in the playoffs, and they could lose in the first round.
Okay, but at what point do we say, like, you know, maybe he got more out of this team than we should have expected?
Well, maybe you could say that. I just want to let it play out.
Well, fine, but you say he hasn't earned it yet. I would contend that getting this team out of what they ended with last season is earning it. That's a good coaching job to start this season 8-2 after the way last season ended so disgustingly is a good coaching job. It just is.
Well, that's why no one's calling for his firing. Maybe he's doing a good job. Well, he's doing a good job right now. We'll see how this plays out. Our 215-592-9494. Would you extend Sirianni right now? And are you with me? Wave the white flag. Kyle and I, we want to wave this white flag for Cooper Flagg. Done with the Sixers. Tank the rest of the season. Hugh, what are you thinking?
You know what? And as far as Coach Sirianni is concerned, it also depends on how they feel about why the season is going the way that it's going. Because, you know, we've been kind of dancing around it a little bit. Like, the quarterback is not playing up to par.
I agree.
And so it depends on, I mean, they gave the quarterback $250 million, so there's that. So it just all depends on over there what the brain trust feels is the issue with this football.
So to Hugh's point, I mean, there was a story, what, 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do my math. I think it was 5 years ago where Jeff Lurie was reportedly upset with Doug Peterson for running the ball so much when they were winning. Like, I think that's fair to wonder. Like, what do they really think about how... I know they like to win. They should like to win. Mm-hmm. This is moving in the right direction winning-wise. But it's fair to wonder, like, hey, the quarterback's the most important guy. He's not really playing that great.
Doesn't that say more about the job Sirianni's doing to get them at 8-2 with the quarterback not playing great?
It also... I think that's a fair point. But they also could wonder, like, do we need to get a dynamic play-calling head coach to revive the quarterback so we can win the Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't know how they think. All I know is how I think. I'd wait till the playoffs. Let's hear something from Colin Cowherd, because he kind of spun the idea of the Eagles as so much talent, and Nick's just, he's kind of here doing an okay job.
The Eagles' story is all talent and sketchy coaching. That's why half to half, quarter to quarter, drive to drive, you don't know what Philadelphia's offense is. They have two offensive touchdowns all year long in the first quarter. First quarter is generally a coaching quarter. That, especially when you have better players. Look at their wins this year. I mean, look at them. Saints, Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jags, Cowboys. And again, Commanders are a young team. They're thin. They're a little beat up. They didn't even target Terry McLaurin once in the first half. The reality is, they're a solid team. They're probably, Commanders are the best average team in the league. They're the best average team. And that may get you in seventh seed, but this coaching is going to get exposed against a team like a Detroit, a Kansas City, a Baltimore, a Buffalo. The best team doesn't always win. Kansas City gets down to the fourth quarter against the Niners, and they trail, or against the Eagles, and they trail, and that's with Andy Reid and Mahomes. Coaching becomes crucial, and I just don't get what they do in Philadelphia. It's all talent. It's dubious coaching. And talent, by the way, raises the floor, but coaching raises the ceiling. Okay? Talent, a lot of talent makes sure you're not terrible. But the coaching is what takes good to very good and very good to great. And I don't know, on script, this is the worst team full of good players in the league.
Yeah, Hugh, we haven't spoken as much about that, but it's still there. Like the first quarter stuff, first half, they get off to slow starts. And, you know, we could say that maybe that's Jalen, maybe it's Kellen, but obviously Nick's the head coach, and they do get off. They just have overcome it, and they keep winning the game.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you've seen, even if that narrative is true about Jalen, and he is not, just say for the sake of this argument, that Jalen isn't who we think he is. We've seen coaches in the past, good coaches, that have workarounds to work with quarterbacks that have deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example of that is Jared Goff. Jared Goff is a cat. Like, as much as we talk about how good he is for the Detroit Lions and everything like that, he got traded after a Super Bowl year because he couldn't get the job done.
They dumped him.
Yes. Yeah. And now he's resurrected with a team that works well within his skill set. Because let's not forget, he threw 5 picks couple weeks ago.
They still won.
And they still won, but they do a great job of working in the skill set. So that's why, you know, when we talk about this, it's one of those things where, is it the coaching? And I think that a lot of us look at that because of some of the miscues that he's had, but they're winning. They're getting off the slow starts. Is that the quarterback? So I think that's a valid question that they need to answer in that building.
I kind of feel like Colin missed the whole, like, they're starting slow. I don't view that as a Sirianni issue.
Well, I understood.
He is in charge.
Well, he doesn't call the plays.
Well, I understood what he meant when he said that's a coaching thing.
Yeah, we did hear from Shady. He's still involved in the offense.
Sure.
I'm sure he's involved in scripting the first 15.
Right. Okay.
Kellen calls the plays, but I'm sure they work on it together.
Right, what do your eyes tell you about when you watch this offense? Why do you think it's not as good as it should be?
I think
there's a lot of, well, misplays.
No, we can say it.
Jalen.
Yeah.
I think Jalen.
We can say it. Say it. Be comfortable with it. No.
Loud and proud, Hugh.
But
I think
also
there's something to that.
Yeah.
But also, coaching helps with that.
Right. I don't think Sirianni is like calling bad plays and hurting them, but he's also adding nothing to help them in the first 15. That's not his role here anymore.
What he's adding is winning them games, like leaning towards a run-heavy offense. This whole thing, like, because we're skirting around the issue here. Because I think we do know that Nick Sirianni is involved in the offense, right?
Yes,
we have Jordan Mailata, other offensive linemen
Shady
saying,
here in the studio with
right,
us.
Exactly. And offensive linemen saying, we went into Nick Sirianni's office and told him we want the 2021 offense. Was Kellen Moore here in 2021?
No.
No. Is this offense working, we think? Like, at least in terms of winning football games right now?
Yeah.
Okay, Nick Sirianni was the one that was here in 2021. He's the common denominator. Doing a run-first offense that limits the impact of the quarterback, this is a Sirianni production.
Well, he's figuring out how to win with what they have right now.
Right, that's a good coaching
job.
I agree,
but also he doesn't know how to fix Jalen. That's the truth, too.
Doug didn't know how to fix Carson, right? Well, and then, sometimes quarterbacks are unfixable.
All right, well,
I think Carson
maybe.
Was just a bubblehead.
Well, right, well, but that's my point, right? That's not Doug's fault. That's not the coach's fault.
But they fired him.
I understand that. But like we agree that they made the wrong move trying to put their eggs in the Wentz basket, right?
Of course
they brought Sirianni
they did.
In, but and then he called Wentz, and Wentz was like, no, I'm out.
I agree with you. I'm just saying as we move forward, that there, Hugh hit it. I don't even know if we got here in this way. If Jalen's play is the reason they don't win, they may say, we need to resuscitate the quarterback to a super high level in order to win.
But I think that's a faulty way of thinking.
Well, like, because it's the NFL. Most teams think that way.
That means nothing to me that it's the NFL. I want the Eagles to make the best decision for their team.
I got it. And if he wins playoff games with Jalen Hurts this year, then extend his contract. Until then, we wait. Derek at Paoli. What's up, Derek?
Yo, I'm calling about the Sixers, but I love to hear all these people calling in, making it seem like Jalen Hurts is a total bum. That's just mind-boggling to me. Like,
well, he's
the
not
Eagles
a bum.
8-2. Well, that's what they – I mean, every time they talk about the Eagles, it's like if Jalen Hurts played better, the Eagles would be what? What would they be, 10-0? You know what I'm saying? They're 8-2. So we're expecting – we want Saquon to get 200 yards rushing, and we want Hurts to get 300 yards passing. That ain't never going to happen, right?
Well, the Lions kind of do it every week.
Nah, I mean, that's why I say y'all on this Jared Goff hype. I don't see where that's coming from either.
Well, he's played better than Jalen this season.
Played okay, bro.
Oh,
how
Derek.
Many Lions games? How many Lions games besides the one the other day?
I watch a lot of them. I've watched a lot.
So you saw the one game he threw for 80 something yards and they scored like 40 something points, right?
Yes, but like Derek, when you point out and you make it sound like I don't watch much of it, and you can point out the Sunday night.
I know,
but people like to point out the outliers. Like Derek, he had an 85 yard game where they dominated on special teams of defense. He didn't have to do much. He had a bad game in Houston, 5 picks. They still won. The other 7 or 8 games, he's completing 80-85% of his passes, dominating the game, and they're blowing the doors off teams. He's played.
Yeah, but like, Jalen Hurts got a pretty high QBR and all that kind of stuff too, and they're still winning games. So if he was playing like disgustingly bad, they wouldn't be 8-2.
But no, right? I don't think anyone says disgusting. I know, but no one says disgustingly bad. We're viewing this in the prism of can they win the Super Bowl this way? Like, he's played well. But, like, can they win the Super Bowl this way, I think, is how people think about it. I don't think anyone thinks Jalen has played poorly.
I think we can.
Okay, well, then,
if they start loading the box up, they're going to start going up top. But I just feel like Saquon has been our finisher. Like, Saquon's not getting you 100 yards in the first. He's starting off slow, too. He's finished some games for us, but I felt like, you know, Jalen Hurts, he got to step it up, but all this question about can we win with him, I just feel like that's kind of unfair. But I want to touch on the Embiid thing, right?
What do you think?
I think with the Sixers, like the culture of the Sixers to me is shot, right? And I feel like, yeah, Embiid, he's hurt, he's this, he's that. And whoever put that – if you put yourself in a player, Hugh, right? If y'all have a team meeting, right, there's no media in there, it's just the team, right? And then somebody just leaks out what was said about what you's doing. Like, Joel Embiid is soft. He's very, very emotional. He could be childish. Like, he just shoved Marcus Hayes 2 weeks ago for an article, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they have a team meeting, and all you're hearing about is
what you doing.
Joel Embiid's late to everything. I'm sure there was a lot more said than just that. So if you're trying to build up your team culture and turn it around, whoever put that out there, that did more harm than it did good, right?
I would think so, but here's the thing, D, that you have to realize. Somebody talking, like, and I kind of lived through this because I had an incident where, you know, my team kind of talked bad about me. But you have to realize you got to step back. You can be mad because I definitely was mad. But at the same time, you got to play chess in this situation. You have to. It's the thing to do because you're at that point, you're perceived as the problem. You see what I'm saying? even if that's not the case. And I even talked about how Joel Embiid's probably been doing this his whole career, and he can't see past it because
guess who else did that, though? Who else did that here?
Iverson.
Allen Iverson. I used to be out in the city, and Allen Iverson would be in Houlihan's before the game. But when you hear Iverson's name, everybody keeps saying
Applebee's too. He'd be at Club
Fridays. Yeah, Fridays.
He'd be out.
He played his heart out. To me, how are you playing your heart out if you're not coming to practice?
But
how are you giving it your all if you're not practicing?
But I don't think, Derek, that it's fair to compare Iverson to Joel Embiid because, number one, that was in a time where Iverson was out there balling. Like, he might not have practiced or whatever, but you can't question Allen Iverson's work ethic on the court. Now, you could question whether or not he wanted to practice because he even talked about that. But well, Allen Iverson was different.
Balling, but it ain't get us nothing the same way MVP.
Yeah, but
it ain't got us nothing.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But
MVP.
But Iverson did lead the NBA in minutes played 1, 2, 3, 4, like 7 times. Like so he was I didn't love that stuff either, Derek, and I understand your point. Like that maybe he didn't take care of himself off the court. But and we appreciate the call, Derek. He played, right? Like Joel is not playing enough. That's always been part of the issue of his career. So, Hugh, you've brought up a lot. Like if you're Maxie and you're going in for treatment and Joel's coming in late and Maxie's getting on the court quicker because like it would bother me too. Like, hey, I'm busting my butt to try to get on the court. Are you doing the same?
Yeah. And like I was telling Derek, that to me, that's not the same comparison because it was more so you look at Allen and it's more like what he's already a Hall of Famer, and you look at Allen like, what would he be if he worked harder? You look at Joel Embiid and you say the same thing, but it means it's a different meaning. What would he be if he worked harder? Because they're both Hall of Famers. Let's just, you know.
They're both great players.
Yeah, they're both great credit. They're both going to the Hall of Fame.
But you know,
well, Allen's already in, but yeah. Joel Embiid's going to the Hall of Fame. There's no question.
You know what I want? I want Joel Embiid's personality and work ethic to be compared to Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I know is will to win to be compared to those guys.
I thought he was going to get that in the Olympics.
Well, that's what he went there for.
Surrounded by all the greats.
Yeah, that trip was a waste of time. Let's go to Dustin in the Northeast. What's up, Dustin?
Joey G, how are you, fellas?
Dustin, what's up, buddy? You ready to tank this thing?
I'm so ready to tank this thing. It's a disgrace what they're doing out there. And I got a call because you had one of your loser callers. I can't stand it. But Mad Mike like an hour ago. And I hate to admit it, but just like I hate to admit that I agree with you, Joe, I agree with him, dude. The guy, you're never going to get that kind of, you were just talking about, you want the same type of mentality that Kobe had and that LeBron has. He doesn't have that. He does not have that. He has zero heart. He's the biggest dude on the court. He's by far the best player on the court. And he looks like he's like, it looks like a kid when you take away their dessert. Like he has no motivation to be there. It's the saddest thing in the world, fellas.
He doesn't get it. And I don't think he cares enough. Like, and that bothers me more than anything. It's one thing you get hurt, it'd be brittle, like a lot of players are. But you got to give me the full effort. And Dustin, like you and I want to tank this thing. We want to. And Hughes brought up the idea that hey, even if you tank, you might not get the top pick. And that's true. That's true. But I'm willing to take a chance. And Dustin, man, good phone call. So here are the odds right now. If the Sixers finish with a top four overall, or bottom four, I should say, overall record, right? If they're one of the four worst teams in the NBA, they'd have about a little over a 50% chance to get a top four pick. They'd have a 14% chance to have the number one pick. So that's the math on it. If you're one of the two or three or four worst teams, you have about a 14% chance to get the number one pick and about a 50-50 chance to have at least a top four pick. So they changed it because they didn't want teams to fully tank, but there's still some incentive. If you're going to, I just don't, my thing with the Sixers right now is I hope they're just not kind of bad. Because if they're kind of,
you hope they're bad, bad.
Either be bad, bad, or turn this thing around and make the playoffs. And that second one feels like a challenge right now. George is hurt and Beat's crying after games. This thing's
he's
not
crying
working.
After games.
Well, he is. What was that last night? Calling someone. And who knows who he's... Maybe he knows who said it. He's kind of calling them out now.
Probably trying to figure out who said it.
Well, maybe he was listening
probably
today.
Swing on him.
Our reckless speculation.
Probably going to swing on him.
What if it was the head coach that leaked it?
It might be.
Well, then he called him a piece of bleep?
Like I said, I've been there. I've been there. And I'm not proud to say it, but yeah, I feel him on that. you know, it's one of those things where you feel betrayed. You feel betrayed, but you have to listen to what's being said.
That's why we did it on the air today when we said you were Joel Douglas. We didn't do it behind the scenes. Jim in Philly's up. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up,
Jim?
Man?
What's up?
Oh, man, I'm just tired of hearing everybody blame Jalen for the Eagles' problems, man. It's not all him. No quarterback is perfect in the league. You guys know this.
Wait a minute. Can I ask a question, Jim, before you go into your tirade? Who blamed Jalen for everything on this show? I ain't talking about what nobody else said. No, I'm asking a specific question. Who on this show said Jalen Hurts was all the problems with the Eagles? Who said that?
I've heard a few callers say it. Your host partner over there.
He said
it. Constantly putting Jalen down.
What did you say about Jalen, Joe?
I don't know. What did I say about Jalen, Jim? I said he's having a good season.
I did hear that.
Outside of that, you're blaming him for the slow starts.
No, we're trying to figure out why they.
That we think he is.
Well, hold on.
You said that this morning?
No, I don't think so. We're trying to figure out why they start slow. So we either could blame the coach or we could blame the quarterback.
You didn't just say earlier that Jalen's not the quarterback that we thought he was?
Well, I don't think I said that today. But if I did, we could say that, like, it depends on what your definition of what you thought he was. And when they signed him 2 years ago, Jim, he would look like a top five quarterback in the league. He finished second for the MVP, right? Like, that's what he was. They signed him. Since then, he hasn't played like that.
Let me ask you this question, Jim, before you answer that question. Do you feel, watching Eagles games, that there's a lot of times when we're out there that we leave points on the field? Do you feel that way?
Absolutely.
Okay, so why do you feel that way, Jim? Why do you think this team is leaving points on the field? What do you think is the problem?
I think it's a few things, actually. It's a combination of things.
Oh, could you tell me what those combination of things could potentially be, sir?
I'm getting into it, Hugh. I'm getting into it.
Okay, well, we got a show to do. We got time. We're on the clock.
I think play calling has a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And player performance at times.
Wait a minute. What player?
When I say that, I mean, like, guys falling, guys not hitting their marks when they're supposed to because they're being – either held up or jammed.
The quarterback maybe holding the ball too long. Maybe.
Yeah, that plays a part in it too. So
that's basically what we've been saying this morning. We didn't blame. I don't recall anybody on here saying that everything's on Jalen. I never said that. But he has to. And when I say he has to play better, it's because we are trying to get to the Super Bowl and the standard has already been set. It's not – listen, I love Jalen.
I feel you.
Like he's a brother because he's an Eagle. It's okay to criticize. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to critique.
Right.
I feel like we live in a time where every time anybody says anything about anybody, we always feel like it's a negative.
We're so soft now. Jim, Donovan McNabb did more than Jalen did, and he got crushed all the time. Like, Jalen
– I know. It was brutal.
But there was truth to it, Jim. Like, Donovan was a great Eagles quarterback. But if Donovan if Donovan was better in bigger moments, the guy sitting next to me might have a ring. Let's call it for what it is.
Feel
attacked. You don't have to feel attacked. So we want Jalen to be better in big moments so these guys get a ring, too.
I've been attacked all day.
You weren't attacked.
Did Jim wake up, by the way? I mean, it's almost noon.
I mean, holy moly. All right, 215-592.
Shake and bake, baby. Wake and bake.
94-94. All right, on
Jim,
the other
I'm
side.
Teasing, Jim.
Yeah, we love you, Jim. Good phone call. On the other side, your phone call's here. Would you tank right now if you were the Sixers? I would sit Embiid, I'd sit George, let the young guys play, tank the season, try to get Cooper Flagg, and then get Embiid and George out of here after the season and go young. 215-592-9494. Would you go full tank again on the Sixers? Should the Eagles give Nick Sirianni a contract extension right now? Hugh and I want to wait till after the playoffs. Kyle wants to do it right now. Plus, we read you the quotes from Embiid postgame because there was no audio. Luckily, and how about this? This is the nice thing he's done for us in a while. Joel Embiid left a voicemail earlier and repeated exactly what he said last night. Exclusive audio of Joel Embiid next on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All right, tonight we're going the under. It's cold. It might be snowy in Cleveland. Give me the under. And I'm taking the Browns plus the points. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. You think Sirianni will play this as he signs his contract extension?
Yes.
It's like Jeff Howe. Just wait a second.
No, he's going to play.
Put my song on.
He's going to play Destiny Child's I'm a Survivor. He's going to play that after he gets his extension.
Well, I could see that.
Yeah,
so he'll come out of the tunnel to this in the Super Bowl, and then he signs that extension after they do well in the playoffs, of course, because no one would want to extend him right now. I mean, what are we talking about? At 8-2, they were 10-1 last year. I'm not extending his contract.
No,
well, I mean, no one should want to do that. You can want to do it because let's breathe. Let it breathe. Let him go through the season. They win playoff games. So what's the number for you, Hugh? One playoff win, two, or they got to get to the Super Bowl?
I think. This is where it gets a little murky,
mm-hmm.
because I think it has to do with how they lose in the playoffs. I think that kind of matters. Style points kind of matter. And what round they go in. Because, you know, last year we went out in the first round, went out whimpering. I don't think it we can't do that this year. I think I'm with Chris Canty on this. It needs to be a couple playoff wins. And if we make it to the NFC Championship game, we better go down swinging. That's what I think. You can't go out there and just get dragged.
I might be okay with just a playoff win. Like progress. They win a because right now we think they're going to win the division, right? They probably will have the 2 seed. Like if I guessed where this is going.
Winning the division is progress.
Winning the division is
progress.
It's progress.
No, it's progress. They didn't win the division last year.
Sure. With 2 divisions in 4 years.
So?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like overwhelmingly great. I mean, Andy Reid wins it every year.
Okay. Okay, but
I'm just saying there are certain teams that win the division every year.
Well, nobody wins the division back to back in the NFC East.
I know. Well, that would be a cherry on top for Sirianni. Yeah. but that would take next year.
I'm just trying to understand what the worst thing that could possibly happen is if we decide not to extend them.
All right, let me play it out for you. So,
or if we decide to extend them,
let's say they extend them today, and they collapse down the stretch, which again I don't think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're not going to fire him 6 weeks after an extension.
They absolutely could.
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked.
Have you ever been shocked at something the Eagles have done before?
Well, yeah, but sometimes, usually they let it breathe a little bit.
I don't think Howie and Jeff would sit up there after a collapse, whether they extended him or not, and tell us that everything's okay, we're bringing him back again, that they know that doesn't fly.
Well, but then
they're way too smart to do that.
Maybe, but they'd also look ridiculous to the NFL. Like, no one does that. No one fires coaches 6 weeks after they extend them.
Who cares?
I can't stress enough,
I don't think they care.
Well, I also don't think he's earned it yet. I want him to earn
sure
his extension.
He he's going to have won the division twice.
Well, can we get there first?
Go to the playoffs every single year he's been the head coach. How is that not extension worthy?
Can we get there? They didn't win the division
yet. We're going to get there.
Oh, 10-1 last year. If we had asked, I believe we actually did a show around this time last year. Is the division over?
Knowing what you know about both teams this year and last year, you know it's so much more likely that a team like last season collapses than this season.
Agree.
You know it's not even, like, honestly, a collapse this year, it's not happening. It's just not.
Okay.
Like I will right here guarantee you that something like last season is not going
to
happen.
Well, all right, let me throw this at you. Then we'll go back to phone lines. 215-592-9494. I don't think they're going to collapse. I'll say it 5 times on today's show. I don't believe they're going to collapse. But what if they stumble a little bit and Commanders get hot again and they lose the division 12-12 on a tiebreaker? So that they blow the division and they're a wild card team. That doesn't mean they're a bad team. They didn't really collapse, but now we got a way harder path in the playoffs, and they could lose in the first round.
Okay, but at what point do we say, like, you know, maybe he got more out of this team than we should have expected?
Well, maybe you could say that, but I just want to let it play out.
Well, fine, but you say he hasn't earned it yet. I would contend that getting this team out of what they ended with last season is earning it. That's a good coaching job to start this season 8-2 after the way last season ended so disgustingly is a good coaching job. It just is.
Well, that's why no one's calling for his firing. Maybe he's doing a good job. Well, he's doing a good job right now. We'll see how this plays out. 215-592-9494. Would you extend Sirianni right now? And are you with me? Wave the white flag. Kyle and I, we want to wave this white flag for Cooper Flag. Done with the Sixers. Tank the rest of the season. Hugh, what are you thinking?
You know what? And as far as Coach Sirianni is concerned, it also depends on how they feel about why the season is going the way that it's going. Because, you know, we've been kind of dancing around it a little bit, like the quarterback is not playing up to par.
I agree.
And so it depends on, I mean, they gave the quarterback $250 million, so there's that. So it just all depends on over there what the brain trust feels is the issue with this football.
So to Hugh's point, I mean, there was a story, what, 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do my math. I think it was 5 years ago where Jeff Lurie was reportedly upset with Doug Peterson for running the ball so much when they were winning. Like, I think that's fair to wonder. Like, what do they really think about how... I know they like to win. They should like to win. Mm-hmm. This is moving in the right direction winning-wise. But it's fair to wonder, like, hey, the quarterback's the most important guy. He's not really playing that great.
Doesn't that say more about the job Sirianni's doing?
Right,
to get them at 8-2 with the quarterback not playing great?
It also... I think that's a fair point. But they also could wonder, like, do we need to get a dynamic play-calling head coach to revive the quarterback so we can win the Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't know how they think. All I know is how I think. I'd wait till the playoffs. Let's hear something from Colin Cowherd, because he kind of spun the idea of the Eagles as so much talent, and Nick's just, he's kind of here doing an okay job.
The Eagles story is all talent and sketchy coaching. That's why half to half, quarter to quarter, drive to drive, you don't know what Philadelphia's offense is. They have two offensive touchdowns all year long in the first quarter. First quarter is generally a coaching quarter. That, especially when you have better players. Look at their wins this year. I mean, look at them. Saints, Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jags, Cowboys. And again, Commanders are a young team. They're thin. They're a little beat up. They didn't even target Terry McLaurin once in the first half. The reality is, they're a solid team. They're probably, Commanders are the best average team in the league. They're the best average team. And that may get you in seventh seed, but this coaching is going to get exposed against a team like a Detroit, a Kansas City, a Baltimore, a Buffalo. The best team doesn't always win. Kansas City gets down to the fourth quarter against the Niners, and they trail, or against the Eagles, and they trail, and that's with Andy Reid and Mahomes. Coaching becomes crucial, and I just don't get what they do in Philadelphia. It's all talent. It's dubious coaching. And talent, by the way, raises the floor, but coaching raises the ceiling. Okay? Talent, a lot of talent makes sure you're not terrible. But the coaching is what takes good to very good and very good to great. And I don't know, on script, this is the worst team full of good players in the league.
Yeah, Hugh, we haven't spoken as much about that, but it's still there. Like the first quarter stuff, first half, they get off to slow starts. And, you know, we could say that maybe that's Jalen, maybe it's Kellen, but obviously Nick's the head coach, and they do get off. They just have overcome it, and they keep winning the games.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you've seen, even if that narrative is true about Jalen, and he is not, just say for the sake of this argument, that Jalen isn't who we think he is. We've seen coaches in the past, good coaches, that have workarounds to work with quarterbacks that have deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example of that is Jared Goff. Jared Goff is a cat. Like, as much as we talk about how good he is for the Detroit Lions and everything like that, he got traded after a Super Bowl year because he couldn't get the job done.
They dumped him.
Yes. Yeah. And now he's resurrected with a team that works well within his skill set. Because let's not forget, he threw 5 picks couple weeks ago.
They still won.
And they still won, but they do a great job of working in the skill set. So that's why, you know, when we talk about this, it's one of those things where, is it the coaching? And I think that a lot of us look at that because of some of the miscues that he's had, but they're winning. They're getting off the slow starts. Is that the quarterback? So I think that's a valid question that they need to answer in that building.
I kind of feel like Colin missed the whole, like, they're starting slow. I don't view that as a Sirianni issue.
Well, I understood.
He is in charge.
Well, he doesn't call the plays.
Well, I understood what he meant when he said that's a coaching thing.
Yeah, we did hear from Shady. He's still involved in the offense.
Sure.
I'm sure he's involved in scripting the first 15.
Right. Okay.
Kellen calls the plays. But I'm sure they work on it together.
What do your eyes tell you about when you watch this offense? Why do you think it's not as good as it should be?
I think
there's a lot of, well, a lot of misplays.
No, we can say it.
Jalen.
Yeah.
I think Jalen.
Say we can say it. Say it. Be comfortable with it. No.
Loud and proud, Hill.
But
I think
also
there's something to that.
Yeah.
But also, coaching helps with that.
Right. I don't think Sirianni is like calling bad plays and hurting them, but he's also adding nothing to help them in the first 15. That's not his role here anymore.
What he's adding is winning them games, like leaning towards a run heavy offense. This whole thing, like, because we're skirting around the issue here. Because I think we do know that Nick Sirianni is involved in the offense, right?
Yes.
We have Jordan Mailata, other offensive linemen
Shady
saying,
here in the studio with
right,
us.
Exactly. And offensive linemen saying, we went into Nick Sirianni's office and told him, we want the 2021 offense. Was Kellen Moore here in 2021?
No.
No. Is this offense working, we think? Like, at least in terms of winning football games right now?
Yeah.
Okay, Nick Sirianni was the one that was here in 2021. He's the common denominator. Doing a run-first offense that limits the impact of the quarterback, this is a Sirianni production.
Well, he's figuring out how to win with what they have right now.
Right, that's a good coaching job.
I agree, but also he doesn't know how to fix Jalen. That's the truth, too.
Doug didn't know how to fix Carson, right? Well, like, then, sometimes quarterbacks are unfixable.
All right, well,
I think Carson
maybe.
Was just a bubblehead.
Well, right, but well, that's my point, right? That's not Doug's fault. That's not the coach's fault.
But they fired him.
I understand that. But like we agree that they made the wrong move trying to put their eggs in the Wentz basket, right?
They
brought Sirianni in, and then he called Wentz, and Wentz was like, no, I'm out.
I agree with you. I'm just saying as we move forward, that there, Hugh hit it. I don't even know if we got here in this way. If Jalen's play is the reason they don't win, they may say, we need to resuscitate the quarterback to a super high level in order to win.
But I think that's a faulty way of thinking.
Well, like, because it's the NFL. Well, but it's the NFL. Most teams think that way.
That means nothing to me that it's the NFL. I want the Eagles to make the best decision for their team.
I got it. And if he wins playoff games with Jalen Hurts this year, then extend his contract. Until then, we wait. Derek at Paoli. What's up, Derek?
Yo, I'm calling about the Sixers, but I love to hear all these people calling in, making it seem like Jalen Hurts is a total bum. That's just mind-boggling to me. Like,
well, he's
Eagles
not a bum.
8-2. Well, that's what they – I mean, every time they talk about the Eagles, it's like if Jalen Hurts played better, the Eagles would be what? What would they be, 10-0? You know what I'm saying? They're 8-2. So it's like we're expecting – we want Saquon to get 200 yards rushing, and we want Hurts to get 300 yards passing. That ain't never going to happen, right?
Well, the Lions kind of do it every week.
Nah, I mean, that's why I say y'all on this Jared Goff hype. I don't see where that's coming from either.
Well, he's played better than Jalen this season.
He's played okay, bro.
Oh,
how many Lions games besides the one the other day?
I watch a lot of them. I've watched a lot.
So you saw the one game he threw for 80-something yards, and they scored like 40-something points, right?
Yes, but like, Derek, when you point out and you make it sound like I don't watch much of it, and you can point out the Sunday night.
I know,
but people like to point out the outliers. Like, Derek, he had an 85-yard game where they dominated on special teams and defense. He didn't have to do much. He had a bad game in Houston, 5 picks. They still won. The other 7 or 8 games, he's completing 80-85% of his passes, dominating the game, and they're blowing the doors off teams. He's played.
Jalen Hurts got a pretty high QBR and all that kind of stuff too, and they're still winning games. So if he was playing like disgustingly bad, they wouldn't be 8-2.
But no,
right?
I don't. But I don't think anyone says disgusting. I know, but no one says disgustingly bad. We're viewing this in the prism of can they win the Super Bowl this way? Like, he's played well. But, like, can they win the Super Bowl this way, I think, is how people think about it. I don't think anyone thinks Jalen has played poorly.
I think we can.
Okay, well, okay.
If they start loading the box up, they're going to start going up top. But I just feel like Saquon has been our finisher. Like, Saquon's not getting you 100 yards in the first. He's starting off slow, too. He's finished some games for us, but I felt like, you know, Jalen Hurts, he's got to step it up, but all this question about can we win with him, I just feel like that's kind of unfair. But I want to touch on the Embiid thing, right?
What do you think?
I think with the Sixers, like the culture of the Sixers to me is shot, right? And I feel like, yeah, Embiid, he's hurt, he's this, he's that. And whoever put that, if you put yourself in a player, Hugh, right? If y'all have a team meeting, right? There's no media in there, it's just the team, right? And then somebody just leaks out what was said about what you's doing. Like, Joel Embiid is soft. He's very, very emotional. He could be childish. Like, he just shoved Marcus Hayes 2 weeks ago for an article, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they have a team meeting, and all you're hearing about is
what you doing.
Joel Embiid's late to everything. I'm sure there was a lot more said than just that. So if you're trying to build up your team culture and turn it around, whoever put that out there, That did more harm than it did good, right?
I would think so, but here's the thing, D, that you have to realize. Somebody talking, like, I kind of lived through this because I had an incident where, you know, my team kind of talked bad about me. But you have to realize you got to step back. You can be mad because I definitely was mad. But at the same time, you got to play chess in this situation. You have to. It's the thing to do because – You're at that point, you're perceived as the problem. You see what I'm saying? even if that's not the case. And I even talked about how Joel Embiid's probably been doing this his whole career, and he can't see past it because
guess who else did that though? Who else did that here?
Iverson.
Allen Iverson. I used to be out in the city, and Allen Iverson would be in hooler hands before the game. But when you're Iverson's name, everybody keeps saying
he'd be at Applebee's too. He'd be at Club
Fridays.
Applebee's.
Yeah, Fridays.
He'd be out.
He played his heart out. To me, how are you playing your heart out if you're not coming to practice?
But
how
see,
you
I think
giving it your all if you're not practicing.
But I don't understand that dynamic. The difference. I don't think, Derek, that it's fair to compare Iverson to Joel Embiid because number one, that was in a time where Iverson was out there balling. Like, he might not have practiced or whatever, but you can't question Allen Iverson's work ethic on the court. Now, you could question whether or not he wanted to practice because he even talked about that. But well, Allen Iverson was different.
Balling, but it ain't get us nothing the same way MVP. Balling,
yeah, but it but
it ain't got us nothing.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But
MVP,
Iverson did lead the NBA in minutes played 1, 2, 3, 4, like 7 times. Okay, like I didn't love that stuff either, Derek. And I understand your point. Like that maybe he didn't take care of himself off the court, but and we appreciate the call, Derek. He played, right? Like, Joel is not playing enough. That's always been part of the issue of his career. So, Hugh, you've brought up a lot. Like, if you're Maxey and you're going in for treatment and Joel's coming in late and Maxey's getting on the court quicker because, like, it would bother me too. Like, hey, I'm busting my butt to try to get on the court. Are you doing the same?
Yeah. And like I was telling Derek, that to me, that's not the same comparison because it was more so you look at Allen and it's more like what he's already a Hall of Famer. And you look at Allen, like, what would he be if he worked harder? You look at Joel Embiid and you say the same thing, but it means a different meaning. What would he be if he worked harder? Because they're both Hall of Famers. Let's just, you know.
They're both great players.
Yeah, they're both going to the Hall of Fame.
But you know
Allen's already in, but yeah. Joel Embiid's going to the Hall of Fame. There's no question.
You know what I want? I want Joel Embiid's personality and work ethic to be compared to Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I know is will to win to be compared to those guys.
I thought he was going to get that in the Olympics.
Well, that's what he went there for.
Surrounded by all the greats.
Yeah, that trip was a waste of time. Let's go to Dustin in the Northeast. What's up, Dustin?
Joey G, how are you, fellas?
Dustin, what's up, buddy? You ready to tank this thing?
I'm so ready to tank this thing. It's a disgrace what they're doing out there. And I got called because you had one of your loser callers. I can't stand it. But Mad Mike, an hour ago. And I hate to admit it, but just like I hate to admit that I agree with you, Joe, I agree with him, dude. The guy, you're never going to get that kind of, you were just talking about, you want the same type of mentality that Kobe had and that LeBron has. He doesn't have that. He does not have that. He has zero heart. He's the biggest dude on the court. He's by far the best player on the court. And he looks like he's like, it looks like a kid when you take away their dessert. Like, he has no motivation to be there. It's the saddest thing in the world, fellas.
He doesn't get it. And I don't think he cares enough. Like, and that bothers me more than anything. It's one thing you get hurt, it'd be brittle, like a lot of players are. But you got to give me the full effort. And Dustin, like, you and I want to tank this thing. We want to. And Hughes brought up the idea that, hey, even if you tank, you might not get the top pick. And that's true. But I'm willing to take a chance. And Dustin, man, good phone call. So here are the odds right now. If the Sixers finish with a top four overall, or bottom four, I should say, overall record, right? If they're one of the four worst teams in the NBA, they'd have about a little over a 50% chance to get a top four pick. They'd have a 14% chance to have the number one pick. So that's the math on it. If you're one of the two or three or four worst teams, you have about a 14% chance to get the number one pick and about a 50-50 chance to have at least a top four pick. So they changed it because they didn't want teams to fully tank, but there's still some incentive. If you're gonna, my thing with the Sixers right now is I hope they're just not kind of bad. Because if they're kind of,
you hope they're bad.
Either be bad or turn this thing around and make the playoffs. And that second one feels like a challenge right now. George is hurt and Beat's crying after games. This thing's
he's
not working.
After games.
Well, he is. What was that last night? Calling someone. And who knows who maybe he knows who said it. He's kind of calling them out now.
Probably trying to figure out who said it.
Well, maybe he was listening
probably
today.
Swing on him.
Our reckless speculation.
Probably gonna swing on him.
What if it was the head coach that leaked it?
It might be.
Well, then he called him a piece of bleep.
Like I said, I've been there. I've been there, and I'm not proud to say it, but yeah, I feel him on that. You know, it's one of those things where you feel betrayed. You feel betrayed, but you have to listen to what's being said.
That's why we did it on the air today when we said you were Joel Douglas. We didn't do it behind the scenes. Jim in Philly's up. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up,
Jim?
Man?
What's up?
Oh, man, I'm just tired of hearing everybody blame Jalen for the Eagles' problems, man. It's not all him. No quarterback is perfect in the league. You guys know this.
Wait a minute. Can I ask a question, Jim, before you go into your tirade? Who blamed Jalen for everything on this show? I ain't talking about what nobody else said. No, I'm asking a specific question. Who on this show said Jalen Hurts was all the problems with the Eagles? Who said that?
I've heard a few callers say it. Your host partner over there.
He said
it. Constantly putting Jalen down.
What did you say about Jalen, Joe?
I don't know. What did I say about Jalen, Jim? I said he's having a good season.
I did hear that.
Outside of that, you're blaming him for the slow starts.
No, we're trying to figure out why they.
He's not the quarterback that we think he is.
Well, hold on.
You said that this morning?
No, I don't think so. We're trying to figure out why they start slow. So we either could blame the coach or we could blame the quarterback.
You didn't just say earlier that Jalen's not the quarterback that we thought he was?
Well, I don't think I said that today, but if I did, we could say that, like, it depends on what your definition of what you thought he was. And when they signed him 2 years ago, Jim, he would look like a top five quarterback in the league. He finished second for the MVP, right? Like, that's what he was. They signed him. Since then, he hasn't played like that.
Let me ask you this question, Jim, before you answer that question. Do you feel, watching Eagles games, that there's a lot of times when we're out there that we leave points on the field? Do you feel that way?
Absolutely.
Okay, so why do you feel that way, Jim? Why do you think this team is leaving points on the field? What do you think is the problem?
I think it's a few things, actually. Like, it's a combination of things.
Oh, could you tell me what those combination of things could potentially be,
I'm
sir?
I'm getting into it.
Okay, well, we got a show to do. We got time. We're on the clock.
I think play calling has a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And player performance at times.
Wait a minute. What player? What player?
When I say that, I mean, like, guys falling, guys not hitting their marks when they're supposed to because they're being either held up or jammed.
The quarterback maybe holding the ball too long. Maybe.
Yeah, that plays a part in it too.
So that's basically what we've been saying this morning. I don't recall anybody here saying that everything's on Jalen. I never said that. But he has to, and when I say he has to play better, it's because we are trying to get to the Super Bowl and the standard has already been set. It's not, listen, I love Jalen.
I feel you.
Like, he's a brother because he's an Eagle. It's okay to criticize. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to critique.
Right.
I feel like we live in a time where every time anybody says anything about anybody, we always feel like it's a negative.
We're so soft now. Jim, Donovan McNabb did more than Jalen did, and he got crushed all the time. Like, Jalen.
I know. It was brutal.
But there was truth to it, Jim. Like, Donovan was a great Eagles quarterback. But if Donovan was better in bigger moments, the guy sitting next to me might have a ring. Let's call it for what it is. You don't have to feel attacked. So we want Jalen to be better in big moments so these guys get a ring, too.
I've been attacked.
You weren't attacked.
Did Jim wake up, by the way? I mean, it's almost noon.
I mean, holy moly. All right, 215-592.
Waking back.
94-94. All right, on the other side.
Jim,
we love you, Jim. Good phone call. On the other side, your phone calls here. Would you tank right now if you were the Sixers? I would sit Embiid, I'd sit George, let the young guys play, tank the season, try to get Cooper Flagg, and then get Embiid and George out of here after the season and go young. 215-592-9494. Would you go full tank again on the Sixers? Should the Eagles give Nick Sirianni a contract extension right now? Hugh and I want to wait till after the playoffs. Kyle wants to do it right now. Plus, we read you the quotes from Embiid postgame because there was no audio. Luckily, and how about this? This is the nice thing he's done for us in a while. Joel Embiid left a voicemail earlier and repeated exactly what he said last night. Exclusive audio of Joel Embiid next on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All right, tonight we're going the under. It's cold. It might be snowy in Cleveland. Give me the under. And I'm taking the Browns plus the points. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.